It's time now to get behind the headlines of this week's Hendersonville Lightning with editor and publisher Bill Moss.
Hey, this week we're going to get behind the headlines of this week and last week's Lightning because Lightning Radio is finally back on the air after the holidays. And, of course, Bill Moss is away in Idaho visiting family. And our special Lightning Radio host or guest host this morning is Mr. Matt Madison. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning, Mark.
And, of course, Matt, you are world famous for your Ask Matt column in the weekly Lightning Radios. How much fun is that column, Matt?
Oh, I love doing it, and it's just a small world of Henderson County, but
yeah.
Thanks.
That's right. World famous in Henderson County. Now this week's Lightning, you've done some extra work. You had to put a little overtime in, Matt. So, and of course, last week's Lightning, we have your yearly best and worst events of the year. So we'll touch on some of those too. But first, let's go ahead and get behind the headlines of this week's Lightning. And on the very front page, Matt, there's a story here that you call Project Ranger. Get behind the headlines on this one. Tell us about this story, Matt.
It's an awesome research piece because I must have talked to 60, 70 people or communicated all about a Pratt and Whitney jet engine part manufacturing facility that has been approved to be built not far from Henderson County in southern Buncombe County in the area called Bent Creek. It's on undeveloped land owned by Biltmore Farms of the, you know, Biltmore Estate. The folks had 445 acres of undeveloped land. No really easy way to get there unless they built a bridge. And that kind of is the story because there's not a lot of developable land in Western North Carolina. This was an awesome site. And everybody said it's a great site, but they just couldn't get a bridge to it. And so the story kind of weaves its way through from the very beginning where it all started in, of all places, Paris, France, where the economic development team from the state of North Carolina hooked up with some folks from the Pratt & Whitney company, and then all of a sudden there was some interest, and that developed into some site visits, and then the code word was used. Pratt & Whitney did not want their name used, and so it was all Project Ranger, and it was just a name chosen at random, and that's kind of the headline. It's been touted as one of the most, you know, significant industrial site developments, you know, in recent history. It's a $650 million project, Mark.
Wow.
800 employees, average salary of $68,000. And they're going to start production in 2022. The land is already being graded. And one of the neat things is that they're going to hire a lot of these people locally and through our local community colleges. They will be trained both in Henderson County and Buncombe County. And what are they going to do? They're going to make, you ready?
Yep.
Turbine airfoils. So if you're sitting in a jet airplane and looking out the window and you see this big engine, you know, you might see the front of it and there's a little fan there and pretty much the rest of it is all covered up. Well, in the article, we've uncovered that covered up part. and we even tell a little bit about how jet engines work, which is kind of cool. So those jet engines have these many moving parts. And one of the moving parts that is susceptible to wear and tear, particularly because of the heat, is what they call turbine airfoils. And they are little blades that rotate and they compress air. And when you have compressed air, you can make your jet engine hotter and then there's more thrust. Mark, I learned a lot about jet engines.
I bet you did. You know what I find interesting about this, Matt, is that obviously the jet airline industry believes that that better times are coming because, you know, certainly what happened to the airline industry over the last year due to COVID has been somewhat devastating. Obviously, they feel like there is a resurgence coming to make investments like this.
And it's one of the things that Pratt & Whitney, which is one of the leaders, I think Rolls-Royce, Pratt & Whitney, and GE are the big three, they felt that they could save a lot of money by making more of their parts themselves and making them in the South, where, you know, absolutely wages are less and we don't have the labor unions, you know, down here as they do up in Connecticut, where they're headquartered. And so they said, well, let's make a move. So they sent a team out there looking for sites. We were in competition with one site in North Carolina near Charlotte, and then one in Tennessee and one in South Carolina. And I said, this is Western North Carolina.
Sure.
Buncombe County, basically rolled out the carpet, and they liked what they saw, and the rest is history. It was announced last October, and this is a biggie. I mean, if you look at some of the paper companies we've had, and the GEs and the DuPont, this is kind of on that level.
It's not
above it, because not just the fact that they're hiring 800, workers, but these are highly skilled people. So it's a biggie.
Yeah, it is great news, and thank you for digging into that story, too. We appreciate it, and especially knowing that they're going to start manufacturing. You said sometime in 2022, they got the pedal to the metal on this project, it sounds like.
They are moving fast, and they've got a bridge to build, and that's part of the story. I'll just, let the readers, jump into that, because that's a story in itself, how that money was found to build a bridge. It didn't come from NCDOT. So I'll just leave that with the readers.
Sure. Okay. Fantastic. So you need to pick up this week's copy of the Lightning and read about this Project Ranger, this bridge that's built, and everything, all the machine parts that had to come together to bring this big manufacturing facility here to Western North Carolina. So thank you for your work on that, Matt. Hey, let's talk about something else. By the way, we're going to get to Tom Orr, and we're going to get to best and worst events for 2020 coming up after the break. But let's touch on something else that we've seen a lot in the local news recently, Matt, and that is the finalists, the two finalists for the police chief job here for the city of Hendersonville.
Yes. The city of Hendersonville, as was noted in Bill Moss's editorial about transparency, that, this is something that really hasn't, happened. It happens other places in the country, but we really not have that level of transparency that we have seen with the, we had it with the Blue Ridge Community College president, search, but not for the police chief search for Hendersonville. So it's really interesting to read about the backgrounds of these two candidates. One is Blair Mihan, and he is or was the chief of police in Clayton, North Carolina, which is a veteran community of Raleigh. And then there's Gerald Childress, deputy chief from Mooresville, North Carolina, in Iredell County, which is a little further north of Charlotte, but on the lake. So both of these are communities that are growing. Both of these candidates seem to be well qualified. There's some issues that of their past that have been written about, but from my perspective, everything seems to be pretty much, straightforward. And they look like two formidable candidates, and it might be very difficult to choose between them.
Well, if it's been narrowed down to those two, obviously there are some qualities that the city manager, John Connett, you know, is looking for specifically, and these guys apparently have those. So the next phase of this is the city council then makes a decision. Where does it go from here, Matt?
Well, I believe under the council manager form of government that the city manager makes the decision. But again, this has been such an open process where people have been able to submit comments. They have had an open, interview process.
Yep.
I would say it would be very, I don't think the city council makes the final decision, but I would be surprised if the city council didn't weigh in and, in their own, subtle ways.
Okay.
As most do.
And this, of course, is a story that the Lightning is going to continue to stay on. Speaking of stories, just before we go to our break, let's go back a little bit to the Project Ranger story you were talking about, because there is a little bit of a continuation to that, Matt, and this is a story that you wrote, and that is folks here saying plant traffic could worsen congestion. Does that have to do with this Pratt & Whitney plant that's coming? Is that what people are talking about?
I would say most folks in Henderson County have tried to bypass the interstate from time to time.
Yeah.
by going to Nashville on NC-191. And that's a great little two-lane road, but traffic has increased there. And as you get further north to the county line, you get Longshoals Road, and then it gets much worse, and it's pretty windy, so that road will not be widened until beyond 2029, according to the NCDOT. So with all the new traffic that will be put on that road from the plant and from other developments that will be spinoffs from the plant, it's going to be an issue. The Henderson County portion is only a couple of miles long until you hit the county line, but it's all the same road all the way up to Bent Creek and then eventually to the outlet mall and Asheville.
Wow. Interesting. Interesting. That'll be again, an interesting thing to watch as Western North Carolina grows with more manufacturing and things like that. We got to have the roads to deal with it. Hey, we're going to be back. You're listening to Lightning Radio here on WTZQ with Matt Madison filling in for Bill Moss, who is in Idaho visiting relatives. We will be back here on the Q with Tom Orr and Matt Madison's best and worst of 2020. Keep it tuned right here to the Q.
Happy fall from Kaysen Oil Company. Fuel prices have dropped, so now is the time to get your oil before the cold weather is here. Schedule your delivery today by calling 693-0246. Family owned and operated, Kaysen Oil Company, serving our community for over 40 years.
And we are back with Lightning Radio with guest host, Mr. Matt Madison. Of course, world famous in Henderson County for his Ask Matt column weekly in the Lightning. So, Matt, let's touch on something that is in this week's Lightning and certainly big in the news this week, and that is the passing of local historian, teacher, evangelist for local history, as the headline says, and just great community friend, Mr. Tom Orr, passed away this past Sunday, I believe, at the age of 82.
Yeah, Tom has been a kind of a enigma in the community. Just a super guy that has done so much. Historian, he was a theater teacher, English teacher. Loves his alma mater, Hendersonville High School. Grew up here. Kind of fell into the historical, area after Louise Bailey, the historian, passed away. He started writing, historical columns about events in Henderson County, people he knew, a lot about education. He was on the school board. He had been inducted in the Henderson County Educational Hall of Fame. He was once the Grand Marshal of the King Apple Parade. He's done so much, and so it's going to be a big loss. I don't know who will fill Tom's shoes, but there's a historian that really was passionate about his community, and will be missed.
Yeah, I don't think you can describe him any better than talking about his passion truly for this community, his passion for teachers, his passion for education, whether it be through the school systems or through just education about where this county and this city was, you know, in its history. I was in Kiwanis for a number of years, and my favorite Kiwanis days would be days that Tom Orr was speaking and showing pictures from the barber collection and talking about the characters and talking about this town. He's just one of the many folks who has made Hendersonville and Henderson County such a special and different place to live. A town and a county that so embraces its history that one can't help but not necessarily be from here, but start to feel like you're from here and start to feel like you really belong because of people like Tom Orr. And I talked to so many students, past students of his, and people who weren't even his students going through school, but they knew what kind of a difference he made. And helping kids in the high school, the senior play, where all of the seniors got together and did a play and so forth, and how patient he was with it. Just a great, great man, a good friend of our radio station, too, and he will certainly be missed. And thank you, Hendersonville Lightning, for posting that story. Hey, Matt, let's have a little fun now, and let's go back to last week's Lightning. We're in a new year now, 2021, but boy, 2020 was something, wasn't it?
2020, it will never be forgotten. 2021, we're ready for it, but we run, and I've been doing this for 7 years, Mark.
Yeah.
At the end of the year, you know, I kind of keep track of things that have happened during the year, and that are maybe noteworthy, many of which Bill Moss has written about, some that he has not. And we just have some fun and give a thumbs up or thumbs down, or maybe some, you know, half and half, sideways thumb, if you will.
Right.
To some events. And so one, for example, that I enjoyed doing was about Roy Williams. Now, you know, when Roy Williams, basketball coach of UNC, the Tar Heels, was, you know, sidelined with, you know, all the COVID, you know, in Chapel Hill, he came up here, and while he was here, he did a promo. So I gave him a thumbs up for doing the promo for the Educational Foundation, and which I think is well deserved. I think he was even wearing one of his sweaters on that one, not a coat and tie.
I do love your sense of humor about all of these. Also, so some of the tongue in cheek comments that you make in your best and worst, like you give a best a thumbs up to Harbor Freight Discount Tool Store opening in the long vacant Bilo store right here off of highways off of Four Seasons Boulevard, and you end it with, "Hey, you can't have too many socket wrenches."
If you've been in that store, they've got them.
touch on a few more of some of your favorite best and worst of 2020. I know they're all your favorites, but we've got a few more minutes here, so touch on some of these.
You know, you could debate whether this is a thumbs up or thumbs down, but I gave it a thumbs up because I thought that when Ivanka Trump got to Mills River to the Flavor One packing house and walked across the warehouse with her heels, that was definitely noteworthy and probably will never be replicated. So thumbs up on that. I gave a thumbs down to the Henderson County folks because even though it was a very smart and deft move to cover the monuments after the Black Lives Matter or before the Black Lives Matter march in downtown, that they covered up all of them. But of course, but one of them they covered up was for the American Revolution war dead that maybe could have been left as is. But gave a thumbs up to the renovation of the roller rink on Spartanburg Highway.
Right.
And I apologize to the parishioners, but I said that it kind of gave a new meaning to the term holy rollers. But
see, that's what I mean, the tongue in cheek.
Nobody's given me any flack on that one, so maybe I'm in the clear. I took issue with the Henderson County Bears. You know, they have the October auction every year. They did real well, made $84,000, one of their best years. But, you know, when I looked at the group of them, they were pretty much painted with flowers and dogs and puppies and trees. And I looked around. I said, well, you know, I didn't see anything that looked kind of manly. So I gave them a sideways thumb for not having, maybe they'll do better next year. My favorite bear, I guess, is the marine bear that's in the window at Sherman's. I guess that's kind of the way I see where the bar should be set.
But sure.
I might be a little prejudiced there.
One of your final thumbs up here also, which is a huge, huge thumbs up for 2020, and that is the Acosta Trail and what may be happening finally with the Acosta Trail.
Yeah, Mark, that is, and I commend the Hendersonville Lightning because way back probably almost 10 years ago when this was starting out, Bill Moss wrote some very significant pieces of how this trail could benefit Henderson County. It's taken 10 years. I was proud to say that I'm on the board for the Acosta Trail, so I've seen it grow in support, and I call it the Acosta Nation. We've been very fortunate to be partnering with Conserving Carolina, and they're going to take the lead from us. We are the Friends of the Acosta Trail, but
yeah.
We're partnering with them, and they're going to be the financial end, and hopefully we'll raise some money and get us a trail 18 miles, and actually 18.9 miles, I think, between Hendersonville and Brevard. It's going to be awesome.
Oh, yeah. It's coming. It's coming. And you're right. Kudos to the Lightning for such great, great coverage of the years and years of folks behind the scenes working on this Acosta Trail. Folks, we want to remind you there's still so many more of the best and worst events of 2020. Whether you agree with whether they're best or worst or not, it's a fun read and a fun look back on the year 2020. And boy, 2021 has already started as a memorable year. So whether it be just Henderson County or nationwide. Hey, Matt, of course, you are world famous in Henderson County for your Ask Matt columns weekly in the Hendersonville Lightning. Can you give us a tease of some Ask Matt headlines that you're anticipating in the coming weeks?
I'm working on a story about cars. We all have cars. Hopefully, that will generate some interest. But right now, I'm kind of waiting to see what the next issue is. Send me questions if you got them. I get questions, and hopefully, I can answer them. If not, I at least try to respond individually. But I like to hear what folks want to know about.
So if folks are out there and they would love to send you a question about what's going on here or what happened to so-and-so or where did this go or what happened to this, how do people send a question for Ask Matt?
Pick up a copy of the Lightning, and my email address is in there.
Okay.
Or you can send it directly to me at m@gmail.com, askmattm@gmail.com.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Matt, always a pleasure reading your columns. Always a pleasure reading your stories also, and your best and worst of each year. Thank you for what you're doing to, much like Tom Moore, educate our community on things that are happening. And thank you so much for filling in for Bill Moss this week, you too. We appreciate it.
In all fairness, Mark, it's so easy to do the best, but it's really hard to find the worst because this is such an awesome community.
It is.
And you're part of it, so thank you, sir.
Thank you, my friend. We appreciate you, Matt, as always. Thank you for filling in for Bill, and Happy New Year to you.
Same to you.
All right. Once again, Matt Madison with the world-famous in Henderson County Ask Matt column weekly in the Hendersonville Lightning, filling in for Bill Moss today, who is visiting family in Idaho. Thanks for tuning in to Lightning Radio.
You've been listening to Lightning Thursday with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of the Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. This program, as well as past episodes, can be heard in their entirety on our website at WTZQ.com. Click on air and scroll down to Lightning Thursday.